friends, our hymn is number 58 in the gray hymnal, Ring Out Wild Bells. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Sorry to say that Michelle is not feeling well this morning, and so she is not with us. So maybe adding a virtual candle in hopes that she will recover quickly and fully from the thing that's grabbed her. So in her absence, I'm going to take on the responsibility for the message this morning. And some of you who were here for the service last Sunday will recognize this little bit that we're going to do again to celebrate the new year. I understand from the notes that Michelle included in the order of service that some of our children this morning are looking at New Year's traditions from around the world. And somewhere back in my family, we managed to move from Scotland and land eventually in what became the United States. And so in my family's history is the tradition of Hogmanay. It's a celebration in Scotland of the new year, and there are lots of things associated with it. I will tell you only two. One of them is called the first footer. And that is the person who crosses the threshold of a home where they are a guest. They're the first person over the threshold at midnight on New Year's Day, basically. And there is a way of thinking about the lucky guests and the unlucky guests. Yes. You think I'm going to flame on for the new year? We have no water. I would... What can I say? It's a bad morning to catch on fire. Well, as Spencer and I will save the jokes for flaming liberals later, right? That's true. I wouldn't. So, first footers and Hogmanay. So there is a kind of hierarchy of who is the best guest to show up first and who is the worst. And the very best guest is a dark-haired male. The not-so-welcome guest is a fair-skinned, light-haired male. Some say that the reason that person would not be welcome as a guest at Hogmanay is it follows the invasion of the Vikings into Scotland, and so certain persons would not be looked upon as favorably. The very worst first footer who brings, like, the worst luck ever is a red-headed woman. You will be relieved to know that I was not the first person here on New Year's Day, and I am not responsible for the frozen pipes in the building. But there is another piece of Hogmanay I wanted to share with you. It's the tradition of singing Auld Lang Syne. And though there is a dance of sorts that goes with that singing, given our immovable pews and the numbers here, we're going to do yet another variation on that dance. So let me explain it, and then we'll sing through Auld Lang Syne once. After we've sung it through once, you'll be changing your handhold, and then we'll do a whoopee at the end. So the dance goes like this. Basically, if we were celebrating Hogmanay, we would be making of ourselves a great big circle, and we would just simply hold hands with our neighbors. And at the end of the chorus, after we've sung through Auld Lang Syne, then we would drop hands, cross our arms, and take the hands of the person on either side. So you've got your arms crossed, but you're holding hands again. We sing through Auld Lang Syne one more time, and then, because there would be plenty of room in the center of our circle, we would all rush to the center in a great whoosh of enthusiasm and throw up our hands and shout Happy New Year. A whoosh of enthusiasm. And throw up our hands. What does that even mean? It means like great joy, like really happy. Just yay. So what I'm going to suggest that we do instead of trying to rush the center is to simply stand up and make of ourselves lines along the pews. So your neighbor be the people in the pew that you're in. And if you would rise, if you're able and willing to take part in this experiment, oh dear lovely choir, you're going to have fun in a minute. Just hang in there. So all you need to do right now is just take hands. And if you're far apart from people in the pew, kind of spread out and grab hands. Oh, wonderful. And so we're going to sing Auld Lang Syne. If you don't know it, hum along. If you only know the chorus, that's fine. Sing whatever you know. Trish, are you ready? And we're going to all sing Auld Lang Syne.
Thank you.
friends, Jolene, will get someone to join her to light the lantern. A word about that song. Early in Ada Blinkhorn's life, she was given the task of caring for a nephew who always told her that he wanted his wheelchair pushed down the sunny side of the street. His constant repetition of that phrase inspired her to write this gospel song, Keep on the Sunny Side, in 1899, and we offer it here as a word of encouragement for the new year, that we may, in fact, keep on the sunny side. And this, too, is a word of encouragement. It's a reading from Naomi Shihab Nye. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's simply called Gate 4A. Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal, after learning my flight had been delayed for hours, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of Gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate A4 was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. Help, said the flight service person. Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this. I stooped to put my arm around the woman and spoke to her haltingly. Shudawa, shubita kabibiti, stani chwe, mifadlik, shubit sewi. The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely, and she needed to be in El Paso for major medical treatment the next day. I said, no, we're fine. You'll get there just later. Who's picking you up? Let's call him. So we called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and would ride next to her, Southwest. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad. And he and she spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, that they had 10 shared friends. And then I thought, well, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took about 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling about her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamoul cookies, little powdered sugar, crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag, and she was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar. And smiling, there is no better cookie. And then the airline broke out free beverages from huge coolers, and two little girls from our flight ran around serving us all apple juice, and they, too, were covered with powdered sugar. And I noticed my new best friend. By now, we were holding hands. She had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. Not a single person in that gate once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women, too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. The words of Naomi Shihab Nye. Our hymn is number 315, entitled This Old World. I looked around that gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. Not a single person in that gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. This is a new year, and this is how I want to begin it, with hope for a shared world, with hope that when we come round to another December 31st, we are in a world more like the one at Gate 4A, once the crying of confusion has stopped. During the Christmas season, the story of the birth of Jesus is usually told as the story of expectant parents making a long journey to Bethlehem. Once there, they find there is no place for them to stay, alone, far from home, With the birth of their child imminent, Mary and Joseph make do in a stable filled with animals. Their child is born and laid in a manger, and the story is all about making room. That's how I learned it as a child, and that's how I have often preached it as well. The Reverend Meg Barnhouse describes that familiar sermon that she and I and others have preached with these words: "Don't be like the mean innkeeper who wouldn't give Jesus a place. You make room in your life, in your heart, for the child. We need to hear the message of making room in our lives for Spirit. A moving commentary about the comfortable and the safe having a harder time making room for the light than the outsiders and the lowly." But what if that ancient story in this familiar version reflected the biases of the teller? What if, when it was translated from one language to another, somehow things changed? For 40 years, Kenneth Bailey lived and taught New Testament studies in Egypt, Lebanon, Israel, and Cyprus, working with numerous Palestinian Christian biblical scholars. He was a scholar in the Arabic language, and he was the director of the Institute for Middle Eastern New Testament Studies in Beirut. In his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, Bailey tells the story of Jesus' life and ministry from a Palestinian cultural perspective in which hospitality is highly valued and has been for thousands of years. Here's another take on the story of Jesus' birth. Upon returning to the city of his ancestors, Joseph would never have stayed in an inn. He would have stayed with family. Had any family turned away this descendant of David, returning to the city of David, they would have brought shame on the whole city of Bethlehem. And that room in the inn, the Greek word kataluma is used in the story of the birth of Jesus and is translated as inn. A more accurate translation would be guest space or guest room. From the time of King David until the Second World War, homes in Palestinian villages had two rooms, one for family and one for guests. The family room was where they cooked, ate, slept, lived, and where the family kept its livestock at night. Most likely, they would have welcomed in a donkey and a cow and a few sheep. If the guest room of the home into which Joseph and Mary were welcomed was already occupied, the couple would have been invited to share the family room, the living room. If Jesus was born in the home, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, it would have been a manger built into the floor of the family room, or one made of wood and brought in at night. The child would have been laid in the manger in the midst of family animals and human family, aunts and uncles, cousins, some distant relatives, all right there in the living room. Though Mary and Joseph were strangers to the inhabitants of Bethlehem, they would have been recognized as kin. The family who took Mary and Joseph in would have done their best to show hospitality to their guests. Back in the Albuquerque airport at gate 4A, after the crying of confusion stopped, there was hospitality all around. The Palestinian woman brought out those delicious cookies. The airline staff offered everyone something to drink. The children served the juice. There was hospitality all around and a sense of kinship. When I imagine the scene at the airport, I imagine this connection between all those weary and late travelers as somehow akin to the difference between tolerance and respect, between tolerance and inclusion. They weren't there just putting up with one another. They were connected, one to another. There was some sense of obligation on everyone's part, one human being to another. Your well-being is also mine. And though we may be strangers, we recognize one another as kin. Now, I have been present for, and on occasion, part of, plenty of airport gate area chaos. Sometimes it has been the result of language differences between the folks gathered there. Given the outcome of the chaos at gate 4A, I suspect the agent to whom Naomi Shihab Nye responded did not sound like this. If anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to this gate immediately. And when Naomi got there, the agent did not say, "Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this." And the agent did not point angrily to the older woman in traditional Palestinian dress, crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. The agent did not point to her, dismissing her as if she was nothing more than a bit of trouble. The shared world at gate 4A did not begrudgingly emerge amidst disdain for differences among the folks who waited there. It emerged as folks began to realize that we can somehow speak to and across the differences that exist among us. Sometimes the language is homemade mamul cookies that get passed around that no one declined. Sometimes cookies become like a sacrament. And in that moment, when a traveler from Argentina, a mom from California, a lovely woman from Laredo, a Palestinian-American poet named Naomi, children serving apple juice, when all of those people are all covered in the same powdered sugar, the differences don't really matter. Not a single person seemed apprehensive about any other person. There was a call for help. There was the halting and poor use of a somewhat unfamiliar language. There was powdered sugar decorating the clothes of everyone gathered at gate 4A. There were children serving juice. There was enough to go around. enough of everything to go around. What happened that day in the Albuquerque airport can still happen. A shared world. The world I want to live in. Our closing hymn, friends, is about building a new way. Number 1017 in the Teal Hymnal. Please rise in body and spirit. Whatever we can do or dream we can do, let us begin it today. Boldness has genius and magic and power in it. So let us be bold in our living and in our loving.